Amen. Thank you, Brother Charles. No more surprises for the rest of the night, Brother Charles, I promise. We are looking at a man after God's own heart, a thankful heart, this evening. And, you know, David was called a man after God's own heart because David gave his heart to fulfill God's will. Church, it really is as simple as that. It's not that David had some special grace. It's not that David had some gifting or availability that we don't have. David was a man after God's own heart because David gave his heart to fulfill God's will. And we've seen how David had a hungry heart. He desired God's will and God's way and God's word more than his own. How David had a settled heart, knowing that God was enough. He had a servant's heart, seeking to serve his king. He had a confident heart, knowing that God could handle what came his way. David had a compassionate heart. David had a heart of conviction. David had a clean heart. David was a man after God's own heart. Church, every single one of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, every single one of us who have the Holy Spirit of God living within us can do as David did and give ourselves to fulfill God's will. We can be men and women after God's own heart. Tonight I'm going to bring this study to a close. In the week it is, appropriately so, by us considering a thankful heart. You know, David's life was full of trouble. From the earliest that we see David was belittled at home. He was forgotten at home. He was doubted by his brothers. He was, we see the issues there. We see the issues that David had with Saul. We see the issues David had with sin. Later on within his own family, we see the issues that David had with Absalom. David's life was full of trouble. But trouble in life doesn't preclude us from having a heart of thankfulness. Oh, come on, church. Having a trouble in life does not preclude us from having a heart of thankfulness. And David, though he had a life of trouble, David had a heart that was thankful. Psalm 26 and verse number 7, David says this, "That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works." Psalm 35 and verse number 18, David says, "I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people." Psalm 69 and verse number 30, David said, "I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving." Psalm 100 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." David says in Psalm number 40 and verse number 5, he says, "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I should declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." David realized that he was a blessed man, and David lived with a thankful heart. Oh, I love the way David puts it over and over again, that he would declare among many people, he would declare with a loud voice, he would have a thankful heart. You know, so often what we're quick to declare is our trouble, when what we ought to be quick to declare is our thanks. What we're so often quick to declare is our problems, is our pain, is our setbacks, is our doubt, is our discouragement. What we ought to be quick to proclaim is our praise. And our declaration that God is good. And David was able to have a thankful heart, not in spite of trouble, but because David's thankfulness was not rooted in his changing life, but in his unchanging Lord. I'm going to tell you, tonight I want us to look at Psalm 30. I'd invite you to turn there if you would, and that's where we're going to be for the remainder of the service, Psalm 30. We're going to look at Psalm 30 tonight, that our heart might echo David's thankful heart. And I want to look at some things about the Lord tonight that David was thankful for. You know, something changes when we begin to filter this life through the Lord. When we As the psalmist said, turn our eyes upon Jesus. As we focus on the Lord, I'm going to tell you, it will change then how we see everything else. It will change how we process the road that we are on. And so from Psalm 30, I want to look at a couple of things. I'm not going to tell you how many just yet, but I want to look at a couple of things about the Lord that David was thankful for. It's by no means an inclusive list, but hopefully it gets your wheels turning tonight. Number one, David was thankful for the power of God. David was thankful for the power of God. Would you look with me at verses 1 through 3? He says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. You consider David in his psalm tonight. David was thankful for the power of God. He mentions God's power to protect. You know, it's not that no one rises up against us. David had many rise up against him. David had Goliath rise up against him. David had King Saul rise up against him. David had his own son Absalom rise up against him. He had entire nations like the Philistines rise up against him. And it's not in life that nothing ever raises its head against us, but it is simply this, that God's power is greater than anything that will rise up against us. And that nothing, hear me, nothing and no one can touch us that he does not allow. In fact, David says over in Psalm 138 and verse number 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of mine enemies. Thy right hand shall save me. You know, as David pens this psalm, he probably has in mind some particular event, some particular enemy, some particular foe. Maybe, as we see in verses 2 and 3, it was even some particular illness that he had been through. But the Holy Spirit doesn't mention it specifically, because David had his and we have ours. David had his and I have mine. David had his and you have yours. But regardless of what it is, we can be grateful for tonight for the power of God. God's power to protect us. God's power to preserve us. You know, sometimes we find ourselves in a deep valley. Sometimes we find ourselves distressed, depressed, or diseased. But church, God is greater. God is greater. David said, I cried, and he heard. David said, I hurt, and he healed. You know, for the believer, even in death, we can praise him for his power. Because in the Lord Jesus Christ, death has lost its sting. And even in death, we know the ultimate victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. God's power to preserve. How many of you with a raised hand tonight would say you have seen God's power to bring you through? You know, maybe God has brought you through cancer. Maybe God has brought you through depression. Maybe God has brought you through the loss of a job. Maybe God has brought you through a sin and a struggle that you have faced. Maybe God has brought you through a broken relationship. Maybe God has brought you through, you fill in the blank, but you know it's true because God has brought you through. And so David tonight stops and he praises and he gives thanks for the power of God, because there is no foe too strong. There is no mountain too big. There is no burden too heavy. There is no frailty too weak that God is not greater. Oh, would you thank him for his power tonight? And so David's thankful heart, David is thankful for the power of God. I'm going to tell you, when you stop and you meditate on the power of God, it changes the way you process this life. It changes the way you process that struggle. It changes the way you process that discouragement. Thankful for the power of God. Not only was David thankful for the power of God, David was thankful for the person of God. Look at what David says in verses 4 and 5. He says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his that give thanks at his remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. David said, I'm thankful for the power of God. David says, I'm thankful for the person of God. He mentions here, first of all, God's character, that we should give thanks at the remembrance of God's holiness. You know, when I stop and give thanks about things about God, I don't know that the holiness naturally tops the list. Because his holiness reminds me that what?
I am not. His holiness reminds me that I am fallen, that I am sinful, that the very best that I can do is filthy rags in the sight of his holiness. But David here, he starts with the holiness of God. And you know why? Because it reminds us that there is none like our God, that he is high and that he is holy and that he is separate from creation, that the angels around his throne cry, holy, 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 and he is the thrice holy God. And it reminds us tonight that we serve a holy and grand and glorious God who is high and lifted up. A holy God who is so far beyond us that we can even scratch the surface, begin to comprehend his holiness and his grandeur. We don't serve a God who is mired in the muck of this world. We don't serve a God who is tainted with the sin of humanity. We don't serve a God who is limited in his understanding. We don't serve a God who we can find out and totally understand. No, we serve a holy God. We serve a high God. We serve a grand and glorious God. I'm so grateful that we serve a God that ways are so far higher than my ways. Because you know what? If I could figure him out completely, I'd have my doubts as to whether or not he could figure out the things that I can't. David says, praise him for his character, the remembrance of his holiness. But not only does David mention God's character, David mentions God's compassion. He says, for his anger endureth but a moment. His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I love this verse. You know, we just talked about how high and holy God is, that he is separate from creation. He is grand and he is glorious. But Psalm 138 and verse number 6, I want you to see what the psalmist says here. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. Though the Lord be high, he hath respect to the lowly. But the proud, the Bible says, he knoweth afar off. You know, God is holy and God is high and God is, there is none like him. Holy, holy, holy is he. And I'm so thankful for God's compassion. That as we talked about this morning, his grace reaches to even me. To right where I am, to just who I am, to take me to where I'm going, that his mercy and his grace are both genuine and generous. Aren't you grateful for God's compassion tonight? God's love and mercy fills our lives like nothing else can. Weeping may endure for the night, David said, but joy comes in the morning. So thankful for the power of God. So thankful for the person of God. So thankful, number three, for the patience of God. Look what David says in verses 6 and 7. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall not be moved. Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. Oh, David says, I'm so grateful for the power of God. I'm so grateful for the person of God. I'm so grateful for the patience of God. You know, David admits something here. David admits, I forgot. Verse number 6, he said, In my prosperity, I said, I shall not be moved. In other words, life was going pretty good for David. And you notice who David gave credit for it. You notice who David was relying on. You notice those pronouns, I, my. And David admits something here. David admits, I forgot. That in blessing, David admits he had become careless with spiritual things. By the way, something we are all prone to do. When life is going good and we think we have everything under control, and we forget that all we are is of his grace. We forget that all we are is of his grace. And we forget that every good gift is from the Lord. David says, I forgot. but he was faithful. Verse number 7, David says, Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. David here remembers that it is God and God's favor alone that made him stand the way he did. And the Bible says the Lord reminds David how desperately David needs him. Aren't you grateful for a God who's not as fickle as we are? Aren't you grateful for a God that's not as easily offended as we are? You know, the many times we forgot him. I'm going to tell you, if we forgot each other as often as we forget God, there'd be a lot of trouble in our lives, a lot of drama. But aren't you grateful that God is not as fickle as we are? And that though I forget, he's faithful. He doesn't stomp me down. He doesn't kick me out. He doesn't run me over. He doesn't shoot lightning bolts down. No, he's faithful. And the Bible says that God in his patience, that's the image there at the end of verse 7, thou didst hide thy face and I was troubled. That God in his patience allows David to be drawn back to his recognition of God's greatness and God's grace. And I'm so grateful that God is patient with the flawed clay. That the potter doesn't throw the clay away. Oh, as David considered the Lord, he recognizes that he's grateful. He's thankful for the power of God. That he's grateful and thankful for the person of God. He's grateful and thankful for the patience of God. Look at what else he says, verse number 8. He says, I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. You know, David points out that he's grateful for the power of God, for the presence of God, for the patience of God. The power, the person, the patience. Number 4, for the presence of God. David cries unto the Lord. You know, God is available, amen. God is available, amen. God is available, amen. Psalm 138 and verse number 3, David says this. He said, in the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. David cried, and the Lord answers, because he is an ever-present help. Because as he promised, he never leaves nor forsakes. Church, when we are having trouble seeing him, he's still near. Church, when we're having trouble trusting him, he's still true. And praise God that he is available to whoever would call on him in faith today. The presence of God, that God is available and that God is able. You know, I don't know what situation David's talking about. You look at verse number 9, David here is rattled. He's basically saying, God, I'm going to die. And you look at what David says. He's saying, God, I'm going to die. But here's the thing, God. I could do a whole lot more for you alive than I can dead. And that's what David's saying. This is a man who is rattled. This is a man who is shaken. This is a man who feels like unless God intervenes, death is inevitable. He fears death, and yet he calls on the Lord to be his helper. You know, that word helper gives us a beautiful picture. It gives us the picture of one surrounding another. Of one who comes around another. It becomes a shield, if you would. Becomes a support, if you would. Becomes a protector, if you would. And it wasn't that God took him out of the trouble. It was that God protected him. God was able to protect him in the trouble. And here's the thing. Knowing that God is with us changes everything. Knowing that God is with us changes everything. Everything. To be grateful for the presence of God. The presence of God that we can know in our lives. David in this psalm. He talks about being thankful for the power of God, about being thankful for the person of God, about being thankful for the patience of God, being thankful for the presence of God. And I want you to see how he brings this psalm to its conclusion, verses 11 and 12. He says, "Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory might sing praise unto thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." David said, "I'm grateful for the power of God, for the person of God, for the patience of God, for the presence of God, and for the promise of God." You know, all through this psalm, we could tell David was going through something. And David was asking the Lord for a needed renewal. David was asking for the Lord to move into a bad situation. David was asking the Lord to move into his mourning and turn it to joy, for him to move into his sorrow and to give him peace and contentment. And David here in verse 11, he says, "Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing and has put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness." The promise of God is that he will always provide the needed renewal in our lives. You know, God promises to renew us within. That is the picture of turning the mourning into dancing. That is God changing things within you. And I'm going to tell you, that's generally where God starts. Is he starts by changing things within you. And he begins to take the pain and the sorrow and the doubt and the despair, and he begins to do something with us. And as David says, turn the mourning into dancing. God renews us within. God promises to renew us without. He says, "Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness." You know, this is what the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, they were a very picturesque people. When they were in mourning and they were in sorrow or they were in trouble, they would put on sackcloth and cover their head in ashes, sackcloth and ashes, and very outwardly they would picture what was going on inwardly. But David here says, not only is God renewing him within, God is renewing him without. He says, "Thou hast put off my sackcloth." And that's a very vivid picture. The picture here is not just to take off, but to tear off. In other words, God will take it away, and God will move in, and God will take it away from our lives and change that sackcloth, change that grief, and turn it to gladness. And as David said earlier in the psalm, weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning. And as we consider being grateful for the promise of God, church, aren't you grateful for that promised dawn? That there is coming a day, amen. There is coming a day. There is coming the breaking of a dawn, the Bible says, where the former things shall pass away. John the Revelator told us of that morn in Revelation 21 in verse number 4, as he said, "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, and neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And to consider the promise of God for the needed renewal. Aren't you thankful for the promise of God? Not just for the needed renewal, but for the needed reason. Verse number 12. And if we don't get anything else from this, get this: "To the end that my glory may sing praise unto thee and not be silent." You know, David here points out that God has given his life purpose. That David's life is able to achieve something. And that thing which David's life is able to achieve, that thing that my life is able to achieve, that thing that your life is able to achieve, is that we can bring praise and glory to God. We can bring praise and glory to God. David says, "To the purpose, to the end, that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent." Here it is, church. you can glorify God. You can glorify God. You ever stop and think it's amazing that God gives us that opportunity? You know, you think about certain students that have come through classes. I guess I've taught in the Christian school for 10 years now. I don't know that I would want all of my students coming back and saying, yeah, he taught me math. I don't know that I would want that praise from everybody. I've coached now for a number of years. I don't know that I would want all of my players to come back and tell everybody, hey, everybody, listen up. He taught me how to play basketball. Everything I know is because of him. I don't know that I would want all of my players to do that. I just don't know that I would. And yet the sovereign, eternal, grand, glorious King of the universe looks at us and says, you know what? You let everybody know that I am your God. And you live your life to point everybody to me. Who am I to point anybody to God? Who am I to sing his praise? Who am I to contribute anything to lift him up? Who am I? Church, I'm going to tell you, there is no higher calling than to lift up Jesus. There is no higher calling than to point others to him. And the thing is, life doesn't have to be going good for you to lift up Jesus, for you to bring him praise. You can bring him praise in the midst of your grief. You can bring him praise in the midst of your sorrow. You can bring him praise, mamas, on the hardest days when them kids just won't listen. You can bring him praise, mamas and daddies, in our marriage. We can bring him praise in our church. We can bring him praise in the good days and in the bad days. We can bring him praise. I tell you, there is no greater reason for existence, because everything else will fail and everything else will burn and everything else will be squandered, but we can lift high the King of Heaven. David said, I'm so grateful for the promise of God, not just for the needed renewal, but because he's given me that needed reason to the end that my glory might sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Amen. See, it's not that David's life wasn't without trouble. It's simply that David focused his thankfulness through his God and not through his circumstances. David said, I'm so grateful for the power of God. I'm so grateful for the person of God. I am so grateful for the patience of God, for the presence of God, for the promise of God. You know, if we're going to be men and women after God's own heart, it makes sense that we would give ourselves to give our attention to God. Amen. And when God has our attention, you know, something funny happens. We can't help but praise him. We can't help but give him thanks. And church, as we begin this Thanksgiving week, this just gets us started. I want to encourage you, even as we move into this time of invitation, even as in just a moment we dismiss, that we give ourselves to consider who he is. That we give ourselves to consider what he's done. That we give ourselves to consider how he teaches us, to consider how he guides us, to consider where he's leading us, that we would consider him, that we would praise him, that we would love him, that we would be thankful unto him and bless his name. Because you know what happens? Here's what we'll find. You put back up, if you would, Brother Kaufman, Psalm 40 and verse number 5. If we really give ourselves to think about God and think about what God's done, we're going to find something. We're going to find something really distinct. We're going to find that many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. In other words, when I start to count who you are and what you've done, I'm never going to finish. I'm never going to get to the end of the list. I am never going to completely say how great and wonderful you are. David says, if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Oh, if we're to be men and women after God's own heart, like David, we're going to have a thankful heart.